We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So this is Tightening the Leash, our most vital refiner missing in the wind on what was to be Lumen's finest day. This is your fault.
Day.
I have followed protocol, Mr. Drummond, but I thank you for your remonstration.
A needlessly complex word for a simple idea. Apologize for the word.
Sir.
Apologize for the word.
I apologize.
Shorter.
I'm sorry.
Again.
Mr. Drummond.
Again.
Devour feculence. It means eat shit, Mr. Drummond.
What did you say to me? What? What'd you say to me, Nip?
I am the manager of the severed floor, which means two things. First, I am owed a measure of respect, even by my superiors. Second, and more obvious, that said floor comprises the whole of my jurisdiction. To put that monosyllabically, I can't even say it. It's not my fault what Mark Scout does when he's not at work.
It's you did yours. Not make it through monosyllabically good.
I know.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys. This is Severance, Season 2, Episode 9, The After Hours. Let's get into it, I guess.
You know, I knew it was coming, but to say, to like read it and then try and say it at the same time as I'm reading, I should have just said it from memory.
Monosyllabically.
Monosyllabically.
Oh my
gosh.
What
a great scene.
What a great scene. Oh. Let's go over this first, though.
Yeah.
Some news in the Severance space.
Yeah, hit me.
So they've added two showrunners.
Interesting.
They have wiped they've tabula rasa'd, straight blank slated the writer's room and gotten all new righties.
Whoa.
Ben Stiller has come out and said that we're not going to be waiting 3 years for season 3.
That's good.
As we might recall, and this is conjecture, but as we might recall, the reason season 2 took so long is mainly because Dan Erickson, the creator, really didn't like where the story was going. Once they started shooting, it caused a bunch of reshoots, and it was leaked, basically, that he thought there were terrible pacing issues. Now, I think that it turned out pretty good.
Like, yeah, it's pretty good.
I think they figured it out. Yeah. I also think that the negative aspects of what he was talking about perhaps came to light in Sweet Vitriol, and where the show came to just like a sudden arboreal stop. And perhaps that. But I will say, coming back to the penultimate episode, the one we're here to talk about today, which is entitled The After Hours, a lot of stuff happened, right? Yeah. We're going to have to continue to deal with that. If you think that Devon is betraying herself, that's just always going to feel bad, because we're putting together the Avengers. Cobell is here. Mark is telling her exactly what happened. And we have to now figure out whether or not Cobell is on a side, his side, her own side. We have to figure that that's something that's just has to be spoon fed to us, because we're just never going to know.
Yeah.
But
the stuff outside that, in this episode particularly, meaning like the Irving stuff,
yeah,
the Helly stuff, the Helena stuff, the Dylan stuff, and Dylan, any and Audi,
yeah,
all of that was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, it was a great episode. There a lot of things answered, kind of, and then more questions asked. You know, that's kind of how this show's been going.
Yes, that's how TV works.
Yeah,
sometimes,
but it's like, it's kind of like excessive with this show, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, the amount they dive, right? Like, it's just that the level of meticulosity, which is definitely a word, is what's making that happen, right? Like, it feels like a lot of balls are in the air at all times.
Yeah. And I mean, for the most part, they're catching all of them, which is pretty cool.
And early reviews are in for the 79-minute finale.
And give us some light. Come on.
People like it.
Oh, they okay, that's good.
They say it's like masterpiece shit, so.
Really? Okay. Well.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I'm oh my God. I don't usually watch Severance Thursday at 9 p.m.
I'm gonna.
Not because I don't want to, just because like it doesn't work out. Some people in relationships will know this is a relationship show, not a Ryan show. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah.
So it cannot just be on my time frame. And if I watch it prior to relationship show time, that is the ultimate betrayal. And I would never do that, except I've done it once or twice in the past and got caught. And I was like, I wanted to see it and you weren't home. Like,
yeah, right. You expect me to wait?
It's been 4 days. There has to be some sort of limitation on this.
I need to avoid spoilers by watching it.
Anyway, let's go talk about what's happened in this episode, okay?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Oh, chill. I'm glad you are down with that.
We're here, dude. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's what we're actively doing. So, the show opens up. Helena is practicing swimming. Don't drown, idiot. And having breakfast with her father, James, which is a weird name.
Breakfast, sure. Call it that.
Turns out that home is located across from Lumen headquarters. It's like, be around the corner at all. I don't know. In this conversation, she tells him that Irving is being, quote, dealt with. And I hate that.
Yeah, I don't like it. Don't like it at all.
Especially with what happens afterwards. Sort of, I mean, we'll get there, but I don't think Bert's a good guy.
Yeah. You know, the events that happen in this show make me like put a little beat on it, but I'm still like kind of, yeah, I don't think it's good for Irving. I don't think what's happening is good to him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that train is going to where he thinks it's going. In fact,
right.
We have a person on an elevator and we have a person on a train in this episode, and I don't think either of those ones are going where they think they're going.
Yeah.
At Lumen, Miss Wong completes her Wintertide Fellowship, and Milkshake tells her that she will be in charge of, quote, stewarding global reforms at the Gunnel Egan Empathy Center in Svelbard, rather than completing her quarter as deputy manager of the Severed Floor. He then makes her break her ring toss game as a material sacrifice as required by the handbook. I would want to read said handbook. I think you just made her do that because you don't like her. Also, did he like escalate this at all, or did he make like a kind of singular decision to send her home? It feels like one of those. It doesn't feel like something Mr. Drummond told him to do. Also, it feels like he made her destroy her game because he doesn't like her, and he's being pushed to the edge, and shit rolls downhill. So bye, child, bye.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm on the side of him not liking her. I think it's all trickle down, right? It's coming from the top. And so I think he's just doing what he's told to do. But like, I read this online after the episode aired. A lot of people have a lot of sympathy for Miss Huang.
Because she's a child?
Yeah, it's, I mean, Lumen is known for child labor, like child slaves. So like,
slavery. Yeah,
it's slavery. And like, she's so sweet and innocent at the, when the the bus picks her up, and it's just like, I kind of feel bad for her because we don't really know what's going to happen to her.
I don't care. Dude, okay, don't treat them like people. Come on.
Yeah, but like, you know, again, she's young and impressionable, so I'm sure she heard that from somewhere.
Is she a product of her environment, Adam?
Yeah, it's crazy how you're that works. Saying? Yeah, it's crazy.
Is how there that context that perhaps makes it okay for her to be good at the theremin? Is that what you're saying?
Or she just really loves the arts.
How dare you, is what I'm talking about. How dare you? Okay. No. Whatever. I just hope we see her again. But
I don't know if we will.
No, we might not.
Yeah.
Gretchen then confesses to Dill that she kissed his Annie. How dare she? During a visitation session, and a very mad Dylan threatens to quit and thereby ends his Annie's existence if he did that.
Yeah.
You know, if they allowed it when it happened, which they won't.
No. And also, you need your Audi's approval to quit. So, like, that doesn't make sense.
He is the Audi, and he's saying he's quitting, baby.
No. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. Like, when he was actually in the Severed
Floor. Yeah, it is difficult because he sort of does this twice.
Yeah,
right?
His
Audi is told that his Innie is hot to try, so his Audi's like, I'm out. But his Innie is then told his Audi is mad that his Innie's hot to try, and he's also like, I'm out. So it's confusing.
It is confusing. But you know what's not confusing, Ryan?
What?
How badly that scream for Gretchen was.
Oh, I thought you were going to like do an ad. Like that felt like like you were leading into an ad read.
It did.
Like,
we don't have it.
It was weird. You know what's not confusing? Snapchat.
Only 7 grams of fat and 4 net carbs.
Snapchat is?
No. Just like, you know, insert.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah. I'm on the deep-seated reference.
Yeah. HelloFresh. God, we don't get paid for any.
So stupid.
So stupid.
But
Gretchen then visits Dylan's Innie. I cut you off because.
Yeah, freaking did. What the? I want to comment on retiring. This because it literally made me laugh out loud in a very serious, heartfelt, emotional scene. I was sitting next to Hannah and we look at each other and she was like, what the hell was that? It surprised me they went with that take.
Which one?
The one where Dylan screamed, Gretchen!
Yeah. I think they're just letting him pop off, dude. They're letting Zach Cherry pop, and...
nice.
We're reaping the benefits. Oh, gross, actually. I know. It'd be funnier if I did it purposely. Like, it would be cool if I was smart enough to do that purposely. I didn't. I'm just dumb.
Anyway, okay. Let's get back on track here.
Yeah, let's put that cherry back in. Anyway, Gretchen visits Dylan's Innie to tell him that they have to stop seeing each other. And Dylan's Innie professes his love for Gretchen and proposes to her.
With a very cute ring.
Yeah, like a little makeshift ring he made out of office perks.
It's
but he or she so tearfully turns him down and bids him farewell.
Like, to be fair, like, this scene actually was really kind of heart-wrenching because I can't even begin to imagine what that whole situation feels like. But
that,
like,
baby,
it was so well done.
He's a baby. He's a little babbers.
Baby. He
that
is.
That little babbers just proposed to somebody.
Yeah, but like on her side too, like she must know like the emotions that he has, knowing all the outside knowledge that he has. And it was a great scene, which was ruined by a screeching scream.
If by ruin you mean made infinitely better, then sure.
Yeah, sure. You can say that if you'd like.
Dylan's sad now, and he talks to Helly, who tries telling him that Irving was more family to him than Gretchen will ever be. But then he lashes out at her because he's distressed and he's sad.
Of course.
He will then go on to fill out a resignation request and gives it to Milkshake as he feels like there's nothing left for him as an innie. And then he, you know, gets into an elevator that he believes is going up, but the general consensus is that it's going down. So
yeah, so this is what I was talking about. Like, normally, in even the MDR, people know that innies need to request resignation and get approval from their outies. So, like, how did he think that this was fine? Do you think he's just in the moment of it all and he's not paying attention? He just wants to get out of there?
If this was actually presented to his outie, who in this episode said he wanted to do this anyway, I think they were going to be aligned on it and he was going to be able to quit. I just don't think that Lumen's allowing him to quit. So I think he's getting bamboozled. And
that's a bummer.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Helly goes to the break room to recover Irving's drawing and of the expert tall. So she's trying to memorize it. But I don't know. It's just not going to.
It doesn't seem like it's going to work.
No, probably not. But we'll
especially
see.
Especially when her weird dad walks in.
Her weird dad. What's up with him, man? What's going on with that guy?
Jame.
I hate that name.
I always thought it was Jamie. It was just a weird way to spell it.
Oh, it might be. I have a predilection for saying names wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, we both do.
Yeah. And you can't blame me on the internet.
Helena.
It's Helena.
It's Helena, I know.
Okay. And we both learned that.
We did.
And now I say it. But I will say, every time I say it, I'm like, I don't know. It could be both ways.
Like, yeah, you know what I prefer?
It's not, but...
I prefer Helena.
Helly is... I don't know. Yeah, I don't think she's going to memorize now.
No, it's a lot.
She is like the biggest ball in the air for what's coming up here. Or the biggest ball in the air that I am unsure what's going to happen as we go into the finale.
Yeah. Yeah, same.
We cut over and Mark and Devin are driving to a pretty secluded area to rendezvous with Cobell. They tell Cobell about Mark's reintegration. And Devin asks Cobell for help in assessing the birthing retreat in hopes that when they go there, it will reawaken Mark's innie to answer questions about Gemma. Cobell tells the two of them about the Cold Harbor file, warning that if Mark completes it, Gemma will die.
Yeah.
What's that about, man?
I want to know what that is. Like, so we saw Gemma down on the testing floor, walking past the doors, and the last one she hasn't been to is Cold Harbor. So I'm thinking, is Mark refining the ability to access the Cold Harbor door, like completing the thing that allows her to do quote unquote the test in there? Because every other test is just like things, like activities she's living, but nothing's been, you know, that hurtful to her. Like she'll get pain from her hand, she'll get a little bit of dentist, you know, droning pain, but like, is this the one that's just like she's gonna die by drowning or whatever the other one is, suffocation? Is that like what we're gonna see?
I truly have no idea. Like, and I don't know.
And like, maybe that Lumen will stage a car wreck that goes into the water.
What the heck?
And it's gonna be the test of her drowning or suffocating. And yeah.
Whoa. What if Helly and Gemma are dying simultaneously?
Oh.
And Mark is forced to choose.
Oh.
Mark's innie is forced to choose.
Yeah.
Which would make it even more complicated because I feel like he leans Helly there.
Yeah, the innie for sure. Yeah. Because the innie just knows that he had a wife. He has no memory of her. Well,
right.
Now being reintegrated, who knows? But yeah.
Right. Yeah. But as we recall, like being reintegrated is a percentage, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just, it's not binary. It's not zero or one.
Yeah.
He's somewhere on a spectrum of reintegration and we don't know how far. So that will be pretty interesting. But
I'm sure there's a crazy cliffhanger that we're going to get.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah. He is pretty distrustful still of Cobell, as you should be, Devin. Yeah. And but speaking of, Devin convinces him to follow their plan. Devin still not being 100% logical. I'm not buying that 100. I don't like it. I don't. Yeah. This feels like an easy way out writing wise. It's the only one in the show. It's disappointing every time it's on screen. If it doesn't culminate in something ultra dope, I'll be disappointed. But obviously, it won't ruin an incredible show, but it does make it worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It is what it is, I suppose. You know, yeah. Like we've said before, nothing is 100% perfect every time. It's so hard to get it 100% perfect every time. I could probably name one or two in the entire time of me watching movies and TV.
Right, but, which is a thing that people say when they want or need a show to be good, right? Yeah. Like, there are times where you're two or three episodes into the bad in a show that's been good, and you're like, I mean, I bet it will come back. Like, it will come back around. This doesn't feel like one of those, but, you know, it's one of those, like, crazy people don't know they're crazy.
Yeah,
you know, bad shows don't know they're bad shows until they're bad. I don't know if this makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
It makes sense. Yeah. And also, this brings up something completely. It's not irrelevant. It is relevant to what we're talking about. But like, you know how people say online, give this person all the Emmys, like when they do a great performance.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell, like, in the most recent episode of The Wild Lotus.
But like, I know that there's an Emmy for best guest actor or whatever on a television show, so sure, but like, it seems like everyone says that for every like pretty good performance on a TV show.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, man, that gets to me a little bit. It's a me problem.
Who do you think should actually win Emmys from the show,
from Severance?
Yeah, the one we're talking about.
I think that Milkshake should.
Yep.
Honestly, I mean, I know he's not going to, because he's only been like two scenes. But Drummond is so good.
Yeah.
He is really good. And he won't. But like, I think that would be really cool. Because every time he's on screen and every time he talks, it's like such a heavy presence. And it's just very powerful.
Yeah. I think Milkshake will. I think Mark/Adam Scott will. I think Helly will be up for it, but will lose, depending on the finale. A lot, right?
Yeah, like, right. It comes down to that, right? Do you think Patricia Arquette is in the running for that?
No.
Not at all.
I like Patricia Arquette a lot. I think she's great.
Sure.
I just don't think that... I think Harmony Cobell is a lackluster character and one of the only ones in this season. And so...
That sucks, because Harmony Cobell was such a great character in the first season. I mean, she was in it a lot more, obviously, but like... She felt like the big baddie the whole time, and just kind of go by the wayside now.
Yeah, and a problem that this show doesn't have many problems, but one that it does have is that now the big baddie is the idea of Lumen.
Yeah, right.
And it's just sort of hard to quantify, which is hopefully something that they, make better with the finale.
Yeah, do you think like John Turturro, Christopher Walken are up for any of those Emmys?
If they put John Turturro up for the Ortbo episode, I think he has a chance.
Yeah,
but I also think he's going to be in the same category as Tramell Tillman / Milkshake and lose to him.
Yeah, for sure.
Mark's absence from work is alarming, specifically to Dr. Maurer and Mr. Drummond, as it's the day in which Cold Harbor was supposed to be completed. Drummond then confronts Milkshake for losing track of Mark, but Milkshake stands his ground
He does.
And he says that he's not responsible for Mark's activities outside of the office, and that Drummond is, and also that he deserves some more respect. And I will say, obviously, that's the scene that we did at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
The line reads of devour feculence and monosyllabically are right up there with Irving's earlier Ortbo line, yeah, Seth, with the my favorite lines of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, devour feculence. I mean, fetid Moppet, you know?
Ooh, yeah. I saw that you changed your Marvel Rivals name to Devour Feculence.
I did. I saw it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do that. I tried fetid Moppet, but it didn't. Someone already took that. But well, I got the Devour Feculence. And the only reason why it's abbreviated D-V-O-U is it's too long.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, congrats, man.
Hey, thanks. I got it. I got, you know, mysterious and interesting work.
Milkshake then calls Mark, and Mark tells him that he just needed a day away, and Milkshake gives him the day off, saying, you know, as long as you're back to work tomorrow. But Milkshake is, you know, sus. And
yeah, he's sus, Mark. But I think he's scared a little bit, because like the way he said, like, can you please promise me that you will be in tomorrow for the love of God? I mean, if not, they're gonna absolutely kill me.
he just told his boss to F off, dude.
Yeah,
and
right.
So he needs this to go right. He says that his jurisdiction is the severed floor, and so he needs him back. He needs this to go well.
Oh man. But like, I'm starting to put some weight in the fact that Milkshake is not that bad. I think that he it's out of desperation that he's doing all of this.
There are a few things in the show that are out of desperation, and that as the like reason characters are doing things, and I'm fine with Milkshake desperation because it's dope, but like,
yeah,
it reminds me of the Devin stuff and it makes me sad.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Irving returns home to find Bert waiting for him. Bert, having uncovered what Irving is doing, investigating Lumen employees, that is, confronts him and tells him, you know, this is just can't happen and you got to go with me for a drive. And I was like, don't get in that car.
Yeah, I know. Please, no, John Turturro, no.
In that car, Bert talks about his job as a Lumen driver for various persons of interest, saying that he never really knew what the fates were of the people he was driving around. Ominous. That's an ominous sentence.
Yeah,
to say.
That's weird. Yeah. Or he had an idea he knew, but like he didn't, like it wasn't explicit.
He knew it was bad.
Yeah. Oh, God.
He then takes Irving to a train station and buys him a ticket, telling him that he can never return to Kier. Irving then admits that he's never loved someone before and tells Bert that he wants to pursue a relationship with him, but Bert refuses in an incredibly touching scene. And it still ends up that Irving boards a train with his dog, Radar, and departs from Kier. And my exact response was like, okay, he's not, man.
Yeah. Not. Is the train a severed threshold?
I mean, it didn't seem that way when he got on it.
but we don't know, you know? Like, who? I mean, Lumen owns this whole damn freaking town.
Yeah. Know? I mean, we might just see, like, the train roll up to Lumen headquarters and be like, oh, and then he becomes severed Irving once more, something to that effect.
Yeah, but. Right. Do you think... Do you really think that the train is somewhere bad, or is this like an honest, like, he can't be with him. He maybe doesn't even want to, but he wants to help him.
I think he knows that it's bad.
Yeah.
I think Helena said at the beginning of this episode that it's being taken care of. I think this is it being taken care of in motion.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we'll find out, or maybe we won't right away. Who knows?
I feel like we will.
I hope so. I want to know. Just like give us that. Like leave us a cliffhanger, but give us that.
Yeah. I think the cliffhanger will be Gemma, Mark, Cobell, Milkshake. You know, I think it'll be that group.
Yeah.
Again, as was the first season. But who knows? Maybe a little, they'll all be together and it will be some sort of group cliffhanger. Now it's nighttime and Helly is still in the office memorizing the directions to the exports hall. But Jamie, I don't know which one it is. I don't listen close enough, which is my bad, walks in on her and says, "You tricked me." And I don't know what he means by that. I'm sure. Do you know what he means by that?
No, I have no idea. To be fair, like I was coming off of this, you know, the most recent scene and her trying to memorize that. I was like, that's not happening. And then, I kind of glossed over the scene a little bit. I'll be honest with you.
Sound off in the comments. What does he mean by that, guys?
Yeah, tell us in the comments, dude.
You can now leave comments on Spotify, by the way, on episodes.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think so. So like leave positive ones on the episodes that we do. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Didn't know that. Looking into that right now.
Okay.
Oh my God, you can.
So do that. Yeah, that'd be cool. Cobell then drives Devin and Mark to the birthing retreat, where Mark reawakens as his innie in the real world. Weird. Super weird.
Yeah, super weird. And, you know, people are saying online, Mark is good. Innie Mark is going to be talking to Audi Mark. But like, how?
I don't know. Some sort of split screen shit.
Maybe. Yeah. He's talking in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. I always feel like somebody's watching me in the mirror. My innie and my outie, my innie and my outie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And you got no privacy.
Yeah. Devin brings him to meet face to face with Cobell. By the way, like walking up those stairs and coming around the corner, it's like, Cobell, why did you have to stand in like the most frightening version of the... Like, you're trying to get this guy to trust you, if that's the goal? I don't know. Yeah,
it's like a villainous Art Deco lair. It was a great shot, but it felt so unnecessary.
Cobell then asks him to repeat the last thing he said to her, and Mark says that it was, "She's alive!" And that's how the episode ends. So,
yeah, I hope things work out for Mark.
Yeah, I mean, they have to some degree. He's the main character of the show, sure. So he has to be in all of season 3. I just feel like his innie and outie are not going to be in a better place as the finale ends.
Yeah. I just want to know how they're going to talk to each other. His innie and outie, that is.
Really?
Yeah, that's I want to know that. Like, how are they going to do that? It's not like... Like, does he write messages to himself? Like, how is that? Can they turn on the severance on and off, you know, in the birthing cabin? I don't know. I just, that's like a detail that I am very curious on how they're going to do.
Also, like, going back for a moment, why was Jame on the severance floor? Jamie, why was Helly or Helena's father there? Like, did he come up from the training floor? What does he do all day?
Yeah, what does he do? And was that him in the very first season episode behind Mark when he was running through the severed floor? Because there was like an outline of a person, but we never find out who that person is.
Oh yeah, that's true. Wow, that was so long ago.
I know.
I am looking forward to this finale a lot, man.
Same. Yeah.
And again, as I think we've said previously, I think this is the best show on TV, and the reviews are really positive for the finale. So, yeah, man, there's nothing more to say other than, like, I can't wait for Thursday night at 9 p.m.
Yeah, and the internet is aplenty with conversations of severance across all of the platforms, and you can interact with us on all of those platforms if you'd like, because we do the same thing. We talk about Severance and all the other shows that are there. We are there at the HBO Boys Pod or at the HBO Boys Podcast on Threads, Blue Sky, TikTok, Instagram, all those, you know, interact, and we can chit chat and pass theories between each other. You can also find us on our own Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ for one or more dollars a month. You can get subbed in. You'll get all the episodes ad-free early. You'll get some exclusives here or there, and also access to the private Discord, which allows you to chat with us. And we have an episode live chat Discord where you can talk with other members and us about what's going on, any show you're watching. We have spoilers up and down, and it's pretty fun and pretty cool, and you should do it. But also, at the end of every episode, we read your name. So I'd like to read our names now for our current patrons. Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, fuck you, Mr. Milchek, which is also another one I forgot to check, but I'm looking at an old list. Sorry. Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butternickels, Buffalo Pizzles, C. Fritz, and Cat's Pajama 10. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butternickels, for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate that very much, and we appreciate everyone who subscribes to our channel and supports everything that we do. And I am getting that new name right now because it's going to drive me nuts. It is Eat Shit, Mr. Drummond.
Yeah. Yeah, because the old one didn't make sense, but now the new one makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So join us here next week for the finale. I feel like we're going to have a lot to talk about.
I think so as well. I'm excited. And then I'm also sad because now we have a whole bit of time to wait for season 3, which I'm sure there'll be a lot more questions. And we got a lot of shows coming up, though, so a lot of content to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, I mean, we're going to do a show about Paradise. Probably we're going to do a show about the White Lotus. We're going to do like recapping the seasons as a whole. We're going to and then probably the next show coming up here that we're going to follow episode by episode is The Last of Us on because it rules. So
yeah, that's very soon.
So stay here, stay tuned, and we'll see you next week for the ultimate adventure of Severance. Cable Guy 2, Severance.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.